Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to let you know, Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album is already here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. Head to iTunes or Google Play to download it today.
Amen. 2 Peter 1 verse 1 to 4. So Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me just briefly stop there for a minute. By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It'd be hard to find a more defining scripture that says Jesus Christ is God. The righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Father, I'm praying that You'll anoint this word to strengthen our hearts this morning. Feed us, Lord, in our inner man. Give us light in our mind. Guide us so that we make right decisions on the correct pathways. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the word of God and the power of this word to wash us, cleanse us, equip us, feed us, strengthen us. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Go on, give the Lord a clap offering and thank Him for all He's done for us. Right, so I'm pretty excited about preaching this word. Thank you very much, that's awesome. I'm excited about this word because of several levels that are inside this passage of scripture. And just to start with, at the very start, he says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, which is a phenomenal and a very radically different way to actually start this letter. You might be wondering, why is that so unusual? Well, you never read a letter from Paul that says Saul Paul, that uses his previous name and a second name. But Peter's doing this. He's saying Simon Peter. So he identified himself. He understood that the Simon piece of his life was still very much alive. And even though sometimes it was troubling to him, because that part of his life caused him a lot of angst, caused him a lot of difficulty. The Simon of Peter's life denied Jesus 3 times. And I think it's that memory that makes him feel so fragile about just saying, you know what, I'm just a brand new born again person and never actually have any trouble with that old life. He's saying, you know, Simon seems to hang around a bit. I don't like it. I'm trying to get rid of him and I'm working towards that happening. But nevertheless, Simon keeps popping up. And that human side of me that took up a sword and cut off the ear of a guy called Malchus when they tried to take Jesus. That Simon part of me that wants to jump out of a boat and walk on water, but then just gets all nervous and afraid and starts sinking. That Simon part of me that really resented it when Jesus said he was going to the cross and he was going to suffer. And so I found myself telling him, rebuking the Messiah, for goodness sake. That Simon part of me that just kept on stumbling and falling. And for a lot of us, Simon is still alive in our lives. Apologies to anybody whose name is Simon. I'm not saying that you're a completely, you know, having a troubled life. But the fact is there's a very human part of our lives that we've still got to wrestle with and cope with. And it's not like the day that you got saved, the day that you came to Christ, that bang, it all got fixed. And there's not even going to be a day later on where you say, whoo, it was good night last night. Just died to my old nature. It's all gone now. I'm fixed up, you know. Yeah, it just isn't going to happen. I wish it would. And some scriptures seem to indicate it has. Because say, if any man is in Christ, he's a brand new creation. All things have passed away, all things become new. I mean, how's that going for you? It's like, why are you saying that? Because it sometimes just is not like that. Paul, he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. Read Romans 7 sometimes. It's a very discouraging passage until it gets to the end. He says, the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. And then I say I'm going to do something and I don't do it. And the good that I would, I do not. And the bad that I would not do, I do. And his problem actually is an eye problem. He's got eye all the way through that verse. And when you puff up eye, when you bolster eye in your life, and when you have a self-obsessed life, you are always going to have difficulty because the old life is self-centered, the new life is Christ-centered. And as long as you start to focus on Jesus, and that's what he does at the end of that chapter, he says, but thank God Jesus has delivered me through the body of his death. The fact is there's scriptures for every condition we face because we face them. It's not like at salvation all your fears disappear. There's 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the year. Why? Because every day of the year we're going to have something that we're nervous about, something that we're worried about, and that's when you bring the scripture to bear so that you can dissolve it, so that you can make it evaporate, so that you can fight those things. So don't be surprised when you find your old self surfacing. It just bring the cross again. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, bring the scripture, fight the battle, and you'll find that you'll be effective. But don't be shocked that there are sometimes thoughts in your head, feelings in your heart that you thought had all gone 10 years ago, that you dealt with them, and then suddenly you're back in there wrestling with these things again. Happily, Simon doesn't call himself just Simon. He says Simon Peter, because he knew, I'm a born-again person. I've got a new nature, and I'm going to tap into that nature and live inside that nature, but I'm not going to deny the reality. And so to achieve that balance, to achieve that synthesis of our humanity and our new nature, it can be a long journey trying to make that work together. But you've got to make it work together and accept the fact that God is quite happy with your humanity, and he's also happy with your spirituality. And then he goes into another step and he says, I'm a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. He doesn't just say, hey, guys, I'm the apostle, come to tell you all what to do. He says, I'm a servant as well as a leader. And to balance that is very important, because a person who doesn't accept that they're a servant but only wants the leadership thing is very quickly going to morph into arrogance. But on the other hand, the person who says, oh, no, I'm nothing, I'm not a leader, I'm a nobody, I'm just a servant, is easily going to go into servility and into a low self-image of who they are. But to synthesize those two things actually brings out something that is brilliant, that can walk through the earth. It's a synthesis of humility and confidence. And when you are able to do that, when we can pull those together, be self-effacing and yet secure, to be able to apologize and yet not lose confidence and not be intimidated, to have that wholeness in our lives is something that Peter is showing us how to have in this passage. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who got faith. And then he says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you. I love that. In the knowledge of Jesus, the more you get to know the Lord, the more grace is going to be multiplied in your life. And the more peace you're going to have. The more you get closer to Jesus, the more peaceful and calm you're going to find yourself being. And then he says, as his divine power has given to us. I love this. All things. Okay, so right now, God has given to you all things that pertain to your life and godliness. I'm going to concentrate on the life word there. God has given you right now everything that pertains to your life so that you'd be fruitful and you'd be achieving and accomplishing at your maximum level all the things that God has got for you. Now, here's the thing. When we look at our world, we might think, our personal world, we might think, well, I haven't got everything. I need that if I'm ever to do this. And then we might think, I need to be that person if I'm ever to do that. And then we could think, I need to be in a particular place if I'm ever to achieve that. Who you are, what you have, and where you are, Jesus has already given you all that you need within those categories here today. So have a look at this. I'm first of all going to cover the where you are factor. Proverbs 13 verse 23 says, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. There's a lot of food already in the ground, but it's fallow. It hasn't been worked. It hasn't been tilled. It says in Proverbs 28:19, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. While I'm following frivolity, I'm not tilling my land. This is saying that where you are planted, you have enough already. Right where you are planted, if you till your ground. I heard the story of a young guy who worked as an apprentice in a garage for an older gentleman who owned the garage. And that boy would arrive early and clean down the station. He'd leave late after the boss had gone, and he'd clean up the work shed and make it all tidy. The time came when the older man wanted to get out of the business and retire and move on. And had no family. His only thought was, I'm going to leave it to this boy. And he did. I read this beautiful story about how this boy, and I've read a number of stories like that, where people who weren't part of the family, shouldn't have got what they got, did so simply because they tilled the land that they were in. The land you're in has got food in it. There's treasure in it. I read another story this week of a guy who, in Minnesota, who was a farmer, a dairy farmer, and he had created this plank across this stream for his cows to walk over. And then he heard about the discovery of gold, and he heard about the discovery of oil, and he sold his farm to go pursue oil fields in Alaska and gold in California. He thought, one way or another, I'm going to actually find some. After he'd sold his farm, they discovered that the plank that the cows were walking on, he'd put it there because of this black, sticky ooze stuff that was flowing down the backyard of his house. He had it right underneath him. But sometimes we don't believe enough in where we are. We think it's always somewhere else, something else, some other time, some other place that I'm actually going to get it. You need to know that God has already given you all that you need for His glory, for the magnificent life that is planned for you right here, right now. John Bunyan was in prison for 12 years. Everybody remembers John Bunyan for Pilgrim's Progress, the second highest selling book next to the Bible. He wrote it while he was in prison in those 12 years. He tilled the land where he was. Your land might even be negative land. Paul, who would have guessed that we would be reading the majority of the New Testament from a guy who was sitting inside a prison? The greatest literature in the history of the world, written while a man was sitting in not a prison like the resorts we have today, seemingly, but a prison that was next to a sewage pipe that was broken and open and constantly flowing past. He was chained to the wall, like the skeletons you see, next to two soldiers. They have to keep on changing the soldiers because they kept on getting born again. He kept leading them to Christ. In fact, when he's writing the letter to Rome, he says, to those who are of Caesar's household, he had reached the entire house of Caesar with the gospel. He tilled the land that he was in. No matter where you are, there's blessing there. God has given you all that you need for life and godliness. As long as you're looking elsewhere, you're never going to see what's right under your nose, right within your backyard. I read a whole bunch of stories about this last year, about diamonds even. Somebody who had diamonds all through his farmland, and he never actually took a hold of it until somebody he sold it to discovered them. Philippians 4:11, Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need. He's talking to the Philippian church. He says, thank you for all the beautiful gifts you've sent me, and I'm blessed. And he says, you're the only ones who have looked after me. And he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. This is a deep lesson to learn. The word they use there is like initiation. I have been initiated into a mystery of life, he's saying. I have learned. I have gone through this crucible of pain. But I have found that even in the worst of circumstances, I can be living the best of my life. Doesn't matter where I am or what's going on. He says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content, to be happy, to be satisfied. If you're happy in any state at all, when it's illogical, irrational, seemingly insane to be happy under the circumstances, you'll find that that attitude will elevate you out of the circumstance into thinking about things in a new way, getting creative thoughts that will devise strategies. Every problem that you ever face is an opportunity. It's an opportunity in work clothes. It's an opportunity dressed up like a problem, but it's an opportunity. Whatever you're facing now is an obstacle or as a blockage in your way. It's an opportunity, friend. Do not look elsewhere and think, oh, if only I get rid of this problem, that problem could be the very answer. You think dying on a cross is a big problem. It's the answer for the entire world. It's the solution for every soul on this planet. He says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where that scripture applies. When you were once the boss and now you're one of the workers. Where you once had the high life and now you got some kind of low life going on. But he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can live as blessed in that situation as I can in that situation. My circumstances are not going to dictate to me whether I'm a blessed person or not. I will dictate that by my response to the land that I'm planted in. I will till my land. Woo! What? In the relationships that you're in, sometimes people are thinking, if only I could be in that set of relationships, if only I was with that group, if only I could be there. God has put you, he's already given you relationships and a setting in which you're gonna find yourself getting blessed. Psalm 92 verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. Don't be a pot plant Christian. You know, like you got your kind of pot and got your roots there and you're sitting there each week and go like, yeah, it's pretty nice. Not quite like the last church I was in. But I get, I don't know about these guys, sooner or later, something. Oh, there it is. Somewhere wrong. I'll pick up my pot, off I go. Yeah. And you're going from place to place. Break the pot. Let the roots go down deep into the soil of where you are planted. And that's where the blessing is. And it's not just about you. It's about what you do for everybody around you. Somebody said, oh, I'm not sure if I want to go. What about the other people who are going to be blessed because you went? Because you came to something or because you just sat there and you encouraged them or you smiled at them. Every one of us have got a calling and a ministry on our life. And part of that getting our roots into the soil of what God is doing here. Next week, we're starting our Next Step series where for 4 weeks, there is a series of lessons to help you know Christ, find community, and discover purpose. And discovering the purpose is discovering the gifts and the callings that God has already put inside of you. And we would like to think, I would like to think as a leader that I'm nudging this congregation, all of our congregations right over Sydney and all of our congregations right through the movement, nudging them into being an army for God. So that every member is a soldier trained, ready to do something, to fight the battle and bring the gospel and to build a church for the kingdom of God. And every one of us have a calling. Every one of us are ready, called by God, and have a gifting inside of us that can be maximized, can be triggered, can be initiated, can be galvanized in a group so that we move together as a powerful army, creating leadership and influences all around us. You are an influencer. You are a leader. And as such, we'd like to train that. So that's what we're doing next week. We're starting next week, a 4-week course. Like I said, you can join anytime and take as long as you like. We don't care if there's 1, 2, 3, 20, or 100 people who turn up. We will be holding it after every service for about an hour after the service so that we can help people find their place in the kingdom of God. At the end of that course, we'll help you, whether you're a greeter on a door or a connect group leader or an assistant connect group leader or somewhere in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, you have a calling and you have a purpose. And listen to me, we want you to grow. Growth can't happen in a vacuum. Growth happens because I am doing something, because I'm bearing responsibility. If I go to a gym instructor and say, I want to build muscle, They're not going to say, just do this. They're going to put a weight in your hand. Now you're going to grow because you've got some resistance. You've got some responsibility. If you got responsibility, you're going to find it motivates you. You're not like, man, I got Connect Group tomorrow night. I better study the Bible. Amen. I better stay holy. Yes. I better pray a little. Yeah. And suddenly I'm growing because I'm responsible for something. Suddenly I'm turning up on time, something I've never done in my life. And I have to be there early to make sure the muffins are out. And all these other things that you've now, because you're responsible, you find yourself increasing. I want to have a congregation that keeps growing and growing and growing, getting stronger and stronger and stronger, going from strength to strength. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens when we assume, put something on our shoulders and say, let's get responsible for the growth of the kingdom of God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. How good is that? Listen to me, if you are planted, you will flourish. Love the fact that recently we transitioned the Saturday night service into a few other services, and I see the Carltons down here on the front row saying, yeah, Richard and Marie said, we're planted, and they flourish. And so will you at every level of your life, because your roots are drawing in nutrients and nourishment into your soil. They'll literally cause you to be more fruitful than you could ever have been just being a pot plant Christian. What we have, that's where we are planted, what we have. So that scripture said, God has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So I've got everything I need for my life. But you know how tempting it is to think, oh, if I only had that. Oh, if only I had that. We started our television program with one camera, two lights. It was a Hitachi portable home video camera. We didn't wait until we had the fancy pants cameras like we've got now. We said, we've been given all that we've got. Here it is. Let's start. But you don't get to have the fancy pants cameras if you don't start with your non-fancy pants cameras. Start with what you got. Don't be waiting for, once I get the big thing, then I can start doing something. It's a series of little steps, friends. All the way into your destiny, it's a series of step after step after step. I know that we sometimes preach and talk about breakthrough, and we think we're gonna go from this little thing to this huge thing, all in one big breakthrough. But listen to me, I would say 90% of getting from there to there, and my experience is simply growing there. Step by 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 step, day after day, week after week, year after year, slowly you get there. How do you accomplish the journey of 1,000 steps, grasshopper? One step at a time. Of course, one step at a time. You don't make a leap and you get through that big journey. Just keep taking the steps. I get preoccupied with the steps because I want to make each step an excellent step. I'm not looking out there and saying, oh, it won't matter how I do today. It won't matter how I actually behave right now. I'm just going to get to that goal. No, each step there needs to be a step on the path between those boundaries on the way to my destination. And it is surprising to me how quickly you get there. My impatience wants me to get there today. Like now, I feel the passion. I've seen the vision. I'm on fire for it now. But if I just calm all that down, calculate the cost and say, do it every day. Just start now. Go step by 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 step. Step by step by step by step by step by step by step. You will be shocked how soon you'll get there. And all the people with superannuation said, amen. The prophet asked the woman, what do you have in the house? She didn't believe in what she had, which is the case for most of us humans. She says, I have nothing. Oh, except this little flask of oil. It doesn't matter what you've got. Once God gets a hold of it, it becomes everything you need. It doesn't matter what you, I'm gonna say that again, it was so good. It doesn't matter what you got. If you give it to God, it'll be all that you need. He will make it more than what you need. What have you got? Oh, I got this little flask of oil. He says, well, go borrow pots and we're just gonna pour that little flask out until it stops pouring because you've got no more where to pour it. Moses, Prince of Egypt, heir to the throne, burdened. I want to deliver these slaves. I've got a burden inside of me, a passion. I weep at night for these Hebrew slaves. I want to get them out of the country. So he tries and he fails. He can't even get one delivered. He's a fugitive for 40 years in the backside of a desert, a shepherd who can't even speak after 40 years. He's just been speaking sheep language. He's a sheep whisperer. He says, God, I can't talk anymore. God says, you're going to go now and deliver those Israelites. He says, look at me. I've got no resources. He said, I've already given you all that you need for life and the call of God. He says, tell me what I've got. He says, what's that in your hand? It's a stick. It's a stick. What could I do with a stick against an army, the biggest army in the world? What's the value of this rod, this stick in my hand? He says, that's all I need. That's all I need. Do you give me, put it in my hand. He says, throw it, put it on the altar. And he puts it down on the altar and it becomes a snake. He says, now pick it up, pick it up. And he picks it up by the tail, which said to him, with this stick, I'm gonna destroy the devil. I'm gonna destroy the oppressor. I'm gonna steal everything that he has taken away from God's kingdom. I'm gonna get it back. With that rod, he split the sea. With that rod, he touched a rock and water poured out of it. With that rod, he brought down plagues on Egypt that caused them to say, we got to get out of here. What have you got in your hand? Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You have got all you need right now. How many times do I get asked by pastors saying, could you send us a youth leader? Okay, and I go, no. He says, but you've got a lot. I said, I know. And you've got none, right? Yeah. I said, well, what grows them keeps them. And if you haven't grown one, you ain't gonna find yourself able to keep one. Because you gotta believe in the people you got. You gotta believe that those people you've got in that church, there's a youth leader there. There's a worship leader there. There's a guitarist there. There's a succeeding pastor there. It's right under your nose. So to help pastors believe in their people, I believe in you. I look at all these people around here and right around the world who are doing amazing things right now. All it comes from is this little drop of faith in them. And the most regular compliment I would be getting and acts of gratitude would be to say, thank you for believing in us. It's quite easy. I'm so positive, I believe everybody's gonna be great. Sometimes that gets me into trouble. I need a person who's got a little discernment over here. Says, no, not that one. But I'm telling you, every one of you have right now inside of you all that it takes to accomplish all of your dreams. God is not teasing you with a dream and saying, yeah, this dream's a great dream, right? You haven't got what it takes. A little boy with a lunch bag, he had a dream to feed 25,000 people. He said, I don't know what you could do with this, but maybe, I know we're resource hungry here to feed all these people, but I don't know. How about this lunch bag? You could look at your current resources and say, what is this among so many? How am I ever gonna meet the need of so many people with such a little resource? I am regularly, always in that position. When I think of what the dreams of stadiums being filled, of people being touched by God all around the world, and I'm thinking, how are we ever gonna do this? We keep on taking steps when it seems like the ice is extremely thin. And we think, we can do this though. You have got to live in that zone if you're ever gonna accomplish something with God, because that brings God into play, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Samson was trapped one day by 1,000 Philistines. He looked around, he said, I got nothing. Oh, there's a jawbone of an ass. A dead ass that had died there, and just the jawbone. He says, this'll do. And he slew 1,000 Philistines. You can do the impossible. You can do the impossible with the very unlikely. And you'll find yourself in amazing victory. The last one is who we are. where we are, what we have, and who we are. God has already made you the kind of person who can fulfill all that He's calling you to do. Jeremiah 1, the call of God comes to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, why are you looking at me? I'm too young. The word of the Lord came to him and said, you're gonna prophesy over nations and bring blessing to governments. You're gonna prophesy into the future of my people Israel. You're gonna rule in the heavens over all of the, and he says, I'm just 15 years old. I'm too young. God said, do not say that. He said, why? He said, because when you don't believe in you, I believe in you. You may not think you can do it, but I know you can do it. And God has more faith in you today than anybody else in the universe. He knows you can do it. He's put inside of you all of the caliber, the quality, the dreams, the power, the strength to fulfill all that God has got for you. Peter was just a fisherman, people. He was just a fisherman. Are there any fishermen in here? You're in good company. You're a hairdresser. You're a plumber. You're a carpenter. You might be thinking, well, who am I? How could... Here's a fisherman, a crude mouth, swearing, fragile, busted up, broken person. He gets two prophecies from Jesus. I'm gonna build my church on you. A few pages later, you're gonna deny me three times. The beautiful thing about that is Jesus says, whoa, I got this new update prophecy for you, Pete. You're gonna deny me, you're gonna leave me. Oh, okay. Let's put a line through that first prophecy. The second problem is gonna disqualify you from ever being the kind of person I could use. He says, no, it doesn't. Both are gonna work together for good. So he's able to write a letter that says, Simon Peter, I'm the same man. I'm not two different people. I know that God loves me as a human and God loves me as this new person. And I'm gonna live this life as that one person. Understanding that there are moments where I'm not everything I want to be, but I'm going to live in that new nature as well and overcome that old guy in Jesus' name. I want you all to stand right now as we come to a close here. Heavenly Father, I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to touch lives here today. Man, I believe that there are so many of you who are here right now and the hand of God is on you. I can see the hand of God on Nick and Stacy LaGreca. I mean, my Lord, the future for you guys is so incredible. God has you proclaiming the word of the Lord and building the house of God and being a pillar in the house of God. And you've said sometimes, I don't know if we're too young. You're not too young. God has put his hand on you to bring blessing to thousands, not just hundreds, thousands and thousands of people. The Spirit of the Lord will move through you, bringing healing and deliverance into people's worlds, and especially in the world of pregnancies where there are complications or difficulties. God is going to use you to bring healing and miracles into those lives. You know, the Holy Spirit is in this room, people. And while I'm standing here, I'm aware there are people struggling right now with depression. And some of these words that I've said this morning are like difficult for you to hear. Because you think, oh, I don't know if that applies to me. I don't know how that could ever happen for me. It can happen for you. But don't let that blackness or that darkness in your thinking obscure the promise of God. Let God set you free. Just reach out to Him right now. Let's all just close our eyes, reach out to God. Heavenly Father, this morning, by the power of the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus, I command cleansing, release, and deliverance and a brand new day to begin in the hearts and lives of every person here. Let the Holy Spirit breathe fresh life into hearts and souls in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, you know, while I'm standing here, I so believe deliverance is in the air. And I want you to, if you have just been sliding in the wrong direction, bring that up before the Lord right now. Just say, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. When you allow cleanse, that blood is there and the grace and the mercy and the love of God, it's there for you. Don't let the devil condemn you and say, oh, you're not worthy. You can't have this. How could you even come before God? How can you be in the... Don't let any of those thoughts stop you. Come boldly before the throne of grace, the Bible says. When you need grace to help in time of need, you need grace, come for Him. Say, God, the Simon part of me just left me out in the cold again. But I'm coming back to You. I'm never going to stop coming to You, because You're gracious and merciful every time. And You will find the blood, the precious, powerful blood of Jesus Christ washes you in the love of God from all sin. But that's not the end of it. As you've done that and you've come into the light and you said, Lord, here's this, you will feel that blackness lifting off your mind, the guilt, the condemnation lifting off you. Whatever you find yourself needing to do, do that in the presence of the Lord. Just let it go. Lift your hands. Lift your heart to God, reach out to Him. And He lifts the shame, He lifts the guilt, He lifts the heaviness, He lifts the hopelessness, the discouragement out of your soul. If you're watching online, I know that right now the power of God is touching you as well. There's some of you I see that are weeping. That's chains breaking. That's healing coming into your mind and your soul. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every evil spirit from trying to bind people's minds and hold them captive. Get out. Lord, let the power of Your name be manifested here today, right now. He breaks every chain, people. We sing about it. I'm not sure if we really go there and do it enough. But I'm telling you right now, take advantage of this moment. Don't hold back. Don't close your ears. Don't close your eyes. Reach out to God. Let Him touch your ears, your eyes, your mouth, your heart. With the blood of Jesus, you'll find that cleansing, washing. And that's not the end of it. The anointing follows. Throughout the Old Testament, oil followed blood every time. First they applied the blood, then the oil. The power of this anointing destroys every yoke in Jesus' name. Destroys every yoke of bondage. And I thank You, Lord, that every one of us will go from this place today knowing, convinced, behind the scenes in our heart, that we have what it takes because God has given it to us. We are where we are meant to be. And where we are has got everything we need because God has placed us there. And whatever is in our hand is enough because that's what God has put in our hand. And we can do all that You want us to do, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a great clap offering.
Thank You, Lord.
Everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow, so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.